Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, July 12th, 2010. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is back with me again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. And I think that we just came to the conclusion that since last week nothing happened, we can end the show right now. Thank you very much.
Goodbye. If you have any comments,
questions, that's it. We're done. That would have been something.
Yeah,
but,
Yvonne and I just talked for a few minutes. Like, I'm looking. We talked for almost 5 minutes trying to figure out what in the world
what
is there
the
to really talk about this week. And we both really had pretty much jack. I mean, we came up with a couple
of things. And it's not like that there's nothing going on. I'm sure that, I mean, there stuff happened. But here's the difference. We're not making the show. We're making the show to try to make it interesting. Try to, at least. I mean, some of the stuff that I looked in the news, I mean, I'm like, do we really want to talk about any of this? I mean,
we did come up with a couple things. One other thing I'll warn people up front. I have the baby with me today, so if you hear him talking or making noise, that's what it is. I'm taking care of him for the moment.
Have you purchased an iPad? Let me ask you a question.
I have not purchased an iPad.
Or an iPhone 4.
I think...
Have you used an iPhone 4?
No, I have not. I've seen a bunch, but I haven't
one.
Used
one. I will say, I just used one. My brother bought one. I just used his 2 days ago.
Yep. And
I mean, the one thing that's really the big difference is just the screen.
Yeah.
It's so much nicer.
It's supposed to be faster and stuff too, right?
It's faster and a whole bunch of stuff. The one thing my brother said he laughed about the whole signal thing.
The whole holding
because
it in
he's
the left-hand
like,
corner?
Because he's had the best reception he's ever had with a cell phone. He was telling me that right now at work, normally, no calls would come through wherever he was with any cell phone he used to own, and now he gets calls.
Okay.
So,
well, that's. You know, I mean, Apple kept saying, "Look, there may be an effect here, but it's still got better reception than any phone we've ever made."
That's correct, and it's and his experience is that it's got great reception. Okay, so that's the iPhone update. Now we can talk about Lindsay Lohan. So what happened?
Yeah, I was just saying, look, I am so low on topics that the first thing I could think of was Lindsay Lohan.
Well, what the hell? Look, I'm curious. I actually saw it flash across the news this week. I actually worked a couple of days from home this week. It's one of the first times that I've actually worked from home, really, since I started this new job, to be honest with you. There were a couple of reasons. One is because I screwed up my back on Wednesday. Well, Oops. Let me clarify this. I screwed up my back in the Bahamas last Friday.
Uh-huh.
I was carrying – water is a very expensive commodity in the Bahamas. So on the yacht that we went over, we carried about 100 cases of water on it. Okay. Because usually if you buy a case there at one of the local stores, it's about $50 a case. So we carried about 100 cases of water, and in the process of me lifting a number of those cases from a boat floating in the water up to a dock and back and forth and back and forth, I tweaked my back a little bit. And then I went to the gym on Wednesday to work out with my personal trainer, and I did these exercises that I leaned forward 1, 2, 3, and I went for number 4, and all of a sudden I heard my back go, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like she's looking at me, what happened? Oh, that hurt. And that was workout over. I'm fine now though, but anyway, all right. So that's why I was working from home. So I saw this whole thing with Lindsay Lohan on the news and the thing. What happened? Do you know? Because I don't know. I saw her. I think she's going to jail.
I don't know. Is she?
You don't really know.
I don't really know. Boy. The only things I know are like she did some sort of thing where she violated her parole or probation or whatever for the last thing she screwed up with drugs and alcohol, and so she was in a hearing for that, and the judge basically said, "Yeah, you're going to jail."
Which okay,
for like
good.
Six,
all right,
six,
there,
six, 60,
we're done.
60 days or something is okay. The sentence, I think.
Okay, so we're done. There we go. We covered Lindsay Lohan.
No, well, the fun stuff was she had, like, there was a picture of her taken at the sentencing with, like, fuck you written on one of her nails. Like, on her middle finger that she was holding up to her head, you know.
You're shitting me. No, really? No. I mean, was she really have it, or somebody painted, I mean, somebody did a little...
No, it wasn't Photoshop. You know. It wasn't Photoshop. She tried to explain it away, saying, it was not a message to the judge, it was not, I was having fun with my friends, and I forgot to remove it, you know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Well, you know, the other thing is, you know, and speaking,
the only thing here is, can I say, go ahead.
I think that, you know, there should be a ban on having teen actors. You know,
just have them all played by like 30-year-olds.
At least 21 or over. I was just looking the other day. They had this video. For some reason, where the hell was that? Oh, there was an article in the New York Times about Miley Cyrus. I didn't realize that Miley Cyrus is only 17.
Yeah.
And now she's gone into this slut mode now that apparently all these – When I was in high school, most girls were just playing defense not to have sex with any of us. Now, I don't – I'm like looking at, they mentioned that Miley Cyrus is 17, you know, like giving a lap dance to a 40-year-old guy. And I'm going,
that was in
what
one of her
the
videos,
hell?
I think, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the hell? The one thing I don't understand is like whoever is advising her, for crying out loud, too. I'm like, okay, you built your brand around this wholesome image, Hannah Montana, the whole fucking thing. This doesn't really work, and apparently she's losing popularity because
of this. The thing is that this happens to a lot of people in this mode who become like big celebrities among the tween crowd, you know, the 8 to 12 year olds or whatever, is that at some point they get to the point where they're like, you know, I'm not a kid anymore, I don't really, I want to like be a grown up, or I want to be an adult,
but are kids.
They're
17 years old.
Well, yeah, but you know...
A fucking 17-year-old punk!
They don't want to anymore be playing the little kiddie show on Disney. They want to be doing something a little racier, you know? And so off they go. Now, there have been a handful that... I shouldn't say this. There have been some child actors who have successfully transitioned into adult actors without having it ruin their lives.
That's the exception.
You have a lot of them go crazy. And then you have a bunch who like act as kids and then go on to be like doctors and lawyers and have, you know, careers outside of the entertainment business too. You know,
I don't know.
But yeah, it certainly seems to be a pattern where a lot of these, I mean, and you can sort of understand where it comes from. If you're, you know, a young kid, I mean, like Lohan like became really famous when she was like 10 or something. You know, she was in a bunch of movies that like were very popular, you know, you grow up, you know how it is for anybody to sort of go through the teenage years. Imagine doing all of that, you know, on... You know, with
I know it's
in
insane.
The spotlight,
you're
you know?
On TV. It's insane. It's insane. I think it's nuts. Okay, I think it's nuts. I mean, if it were my kid, I ain't fucking doing it. I'm that's for damn sure. It ain't happening. It ain't fucking happening. So I don't know. Anyway, all right. So I don't know. We need to talk more about this than we wanted to. Okay, but what the hell else did we say we were going to talk about, for crying out loud?
Well, actually, we somehow managed to make it to the time for a first break. So we're going to
Wow!
I know, it's amazing. So we'll take a break, and we'll be right back with some other random stuff that we don't know.
With the thing and a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you get when two housewives produce an online poetry journal? Poems celebrating dishwater, breastfeeding, and lunar phases? Quick trips to the pool boy? Maybe. But they like to believe they offer much more than that. There's no telling what you'll get at the No-Tell Motel. But I hear sneaking out and keeping everything hush-hush is kind of sexy, and they're hot for discretion. Having it all keeps our two housewives awfully busy, so they like to stop and smell the posies, spend quality time with their poets, which is why their rendezvous lasts a full 7 days, a new poem each weekday. Each year they slip their room key to 52 poets and indulge in 260 poems. Their spouse's misfortunes are your gains. Meet with them daily at notelmotel.org. They'll be in room 5C, sipping the latest cocktail recommended in Martha Stewart's Living, Scribbling Marginalia.
Okay, and we're back. So,
Okay, anyway. All right, any other questions? Okay, let's move on.
One thing that you had brought up that you were apparently having a conversation with some random people about and thought might be interesting enough to talk about here is sort of, what's the next generation of things after Twitter and Facebook? Because these things tend to come and go. They're, you know, you have the fad, people get really into it. But I mean, come on. Does anybody here really believe that, you know, people will still be doing this Facebook thing in this way like 10 years from now? I don't know. Maybe.
I highly doubt it.
Maybe. I mean, like, you know,
Google's still around, maybe.
After 10 years, you know.
We're using Windows. I mean, you know.
There are lots of web/technology things that last many, many years. I mean, if you look at what was around in the year 2000 and what's around now, I mean, most of them are gone. But there are a handful of things that have survived and thrived and have done well, you know, so, and maybe Facebook is one of them. But it seems like this is the kind of thing where, you know, you had Friendster for a while, and then you had MySpace for a while, and now we have, and then there was Facebook
sucked.
For a while.
I mean, the one thing about Friendster and those, I mean, you know what we did? We signed up for it, we put some information, and then that's it. Never did anything else.
Because
99% of the people did, because there was nothing to do.
There wasn't any of the kind of, I mean,
activities.
Maybe there was, but it wasn't. Nobody used it.
It wasn't very obvious.
Yeah, and MySpace just made my eyes hurt. So, you know. But
yeah. MySpace. I couldn't use that thing. I mean, I guess for teenagers, I guess it must be great. But I couldn't use fucking MySpace.
Well, teenagers, any teenager that was using MySpace for the most part abandoned it a few years back. But, but anyway. So,
I see a lot of people using it.
Really?
So it seems. Yeah.
Like, I know nobody that has a MySpace presence.
I don't know anybody personally, but I said, like, teenagers, I've seen a number of them use it still. But what do I know?
Amy does have a MySpace presence that she signed up for because there was one of her friends who wanted to talk over MySpace, so she signed up, and she never uses it. You know.
Okay.
But.
Well, all right.
You know.
So what would be the next generation interactive platform? I don't know. What do you think?
Here's what I see is the evolution here, and I don't know, like. Twitter, you know, we've talked before about, like, why would you Twitter? And the real answer is that the real reason to Twitter is not it's not at all the same kind of thing as, like, Facebook, where you're sharing information with your friends. The Twitter is for people who want to build an audience and are, you know, doing activities where you expect all kinds of people you don't know to follow you because you're saying something, you know, they might care about, either because you're a celebrity or because you've got a show to promote or something like that. It's not a vehicle for, you know, you to share stuff for your friends. And the text limitation essentially brings it back to just being headlines that you can point elsewhere
right.
for more in-depth content if you want. But it lets people.
I fucked my girlfriend. Headlines. Stay tuned. I don't know. There you go. I mean, what the hell else could you say, really? I mean, I don't know.
Have you been reading Ashton Kutcher's feed again?
Yes, I have, actually. Yeah, so. Well, you know, it's like that's what I usually do every day, you know, when I wake up. So, you know, I don't know. Do you use Twitter? Because I don't use Twitter.
Well, I
got it.
I
am not a Twitter. Twitter.
I have my blog feeding Twitter. So every time I make a blog post, it gives the title of the post and a link Twitter. Back to the post. And I fully admit that at this point I am following a few people on Twitter that I find interesting. And it's just, I don't know, none of it's really valuable, you know? I don't get any really...
It's just entertaining?
It's just somewhat entertaining, you know, like, I mentioned Lindsay. I followed her just to see what was up, you know? And
So what did she say interesting?
Nothing.
Or not?
Nothing. Nothing.
No. Oh gosh, what a shocker.
She's an incredibly vapid person that doesn't ever have anything useful to say. But
that sounds about right. That sounds about correct. Okay.
But you know, it's curious to poke around there. There are a few others that I'll follow occasionally. I follow one of the guys from Mythbusters. Yeah, and he occasionally has.
Okay.
He points out interesting articles and stuff, and that's kind of cool.
That's okay.
I follow Will Wheaton, of former Star Trek fame. He's a writer now, and occasionally an actor on various things. He's kind of interesting to follow. So there are a few. Now, for the most part, like a lot of these people, I don't know, like. If it disappeared tomorrow, I wouldn't miss it. Let's put it that way. There's a little bit of additional entertainment value there. Some of these people also have blogs, and I'll read their blogs too if they really have anything interesting to say. So Twitter's for that. On the Facebook side, I think that the next evolution that is going to be interesting to see is whether. Zuckerberg, is that how you say his name? Anyway.
Yes.
He's gambling that over time, people's hang-ups about the various privacy issues will slowly go away.
I've seen the opposite. I just realized that I noticed one person, a couple of people, that have dropped off of Facebook because of this.
Well, and
I noticed one about an hour ago, one specific person that I was like, all of a sudden, wait, didn't I have on his Facebook? And then I went and I realized, oh my God, he cleared out his account. He's done.
Well, and see, this is the thing. This is the main question that's going to appear here, because one of two things will happen here. Either he's right, and for the most part, people won't care, in which case this is going to continue to be a thriving ecosystem over time. And yes, there'll be some people who drop out, but it'll be balanced by the people who join. And more importantly, from the point of view of Facebook as a business, the access to that personal information will be increasingly available to advertisers and other merchandisers who Facebook wants to sell it to. And that's how they would make money, and that's how things would move forward. The alternative side is if people get increasingly worked up about this kind of stuff and increasingly sensitive to this, at some point somebody's going to open up an alternative that offers most of the same features, that offers an easy migration path from Facebook to their system, and which offers very robust controls over what is shared to where and how.
I think that the one thing that will cause, like, at some point, I think that there will be some crisis event, okay? That's what I think. Some guy is going to be arrested, or some law case or something is going to happen because of their information on Facebook, which wasn't properly, you know, protected. And that's going to probably cause a major shift in one way or another, whether it's to another platform or a change in how Facebook works or something. But I'm telling you, at some point, something will happen. I just don't know what that thing will be, but something will.
Well, that's my
guess.
Some of that stuff is already happening. There are people being arrested because of stuff they put on Facebook. You know, and
well, some of the morons. I know. I think that there were a couple of guys who I think posted about their robberies or something. I don't know.
Yeah, there was that kind of thing going on, and you know, some people are more stupid than others. Where you know the cop just asks to friend you, and they say, "Oh, okay, yeah."
And then yeah, sure.
and then they start talking about illegal stuff, you know, and you know.
Smart cops. Oh, what the?
Yeah. Hi. Yes, that's the microphone.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, and we talked last week. I don't know if you've listened to last week's show yet, Yvonne, but youropenbook.org, which is basically a search engine for people who've left their Facebook statuses open to the world. You know.
Okay.
So you could find all kinds of incriminating stuff there, and you know. Now, on the flip side, there's also been at least one person who has been exonerated because of their Facebook presence. They were accused of a crime, and they were able to prove that they were, like, playing Farmville or something at the exact time of the crime.
Well, there you go. That's so bad. Farmville finally saved somebody. There's a use for Farmville! You know, me and my wife for a while played Farmville. For a little bit. But then what I realized is, you see, the problem is, it's like Amway, man. Because it doesn't matter whether you learn how to farm or your skills or whatever. Honestly, the only way that you can grow is by either giving money all the time to the company or, like, by having other people sign up to the game. That's the only way. It isn't really based on your skill, and that pissed me off. And my wife, he said, "The hell with this." I'm like, if it's not really a game, you know.
Well, yeah. And that's the whole point. That's how they, you know, that's the whole cycle that they were trying to build.
Multi-level fucking marketing scheme.
Yes, it is.
That's all it is. And I stopped playing it a long time ago because this is when I realized the fuck. It's just a multi-level marketing scheme. It's not really, you know. So
exactly. Anyway, let's take a break and we'll be back with some other stuff. We'll be right back after your poem of the week.
Woohoo!
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by No-Tell Motel. Yay!
Warning by Katie Porter. Here is the dark-hearted cave, the blood bloom of a kiss on your ear. I have swallowed your tongue to taste what sweetness is not. Here is a stuttering hand, a lapsed thrill that you are leaking onto and out of. In this there is no room for a key, but a lake likes the swim of you, the fin. The cliffs loom like cherry-licked ice, melting into the vertical and smiling, clear and sharpening its claws. You have no bones that lift your skin, no bone hangers on which to drag your dress around. Flip the switch and the heart bleats like a lighted skull, like a sheep you have fitted with a luminescent flare. It burns and the scene whistles steam. It runs and leaps and little sweaters march single file on command. But not to warn you. To warn you, I say, look out for the falling lamb. To pickle you, I must spell the word backwards three times, climb the ladder to unlatch the trunk. Here is your bloodless berry.
For more like this, go to notellmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, we're back. So, Yvonne, we had a couple other things. Before we get to anything real, I'll just mention real quick, the rest of the country has apparently been hot for a while, but here in Seattle, it broke 80 for the first time a couple days ago, and because, you know, we're so used to it always being in the 70s and stuff, it got to the high 80s, and, you know, everyone's melting, and, you know, we in particular did something smart. I was watching the weather forecasts. I knew that it was going to get hot in a few days. We went out
and you fixed the air conditioner.
We went out and bought a new portable air conditioner like 2 days before the heat hit. And then of course the heat hits and the news is all about, you know, the run on the stores, everybody selling out of air conditioners and fans and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, ours is right there. We picked it up 2 days ago. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, that's very good. That's very good. Well, I will tell you that it's been so hot over here. I mean, not that it's always hot here in the summer, but I mean, the one thing that's been, I mean, I've gotten into my garage, and inside the garage has been over 90 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when I fire up the car, I mean, that's been one thing. You know, and yes, on Friday we went, we played golf on Friday, and. My God, was it hot at the golf course. The problem was there was no breeze. If there would have been a breeze, it was okay, and a breeze did pick up around noon. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, it was when the breeze picked up, I felt fine, but it was like the whole morning there was just no wind, and it was just it was so hot. But, you know, and now I got a freaking truck driver's tan because I couldn't – I was driving the golf cart for the most part instead of playing because of my back.
Mm-hmm.
So I was keeping score and I was doing some stuff. And now my left arm is far more tan than my right arm. So I got this truck driver tan thing going on. Actually, I used to have this kind of tan in Puerto Rico all the time. I used to drive so much, but not so much anymore over here. And now, like, you know, now I got my truck driver tan going. So anyway, so that was
anyway, so
yeah, that's
so,
the weather report. Okay.
So we were going to talk a little bit, and I think these two things we can sort of go together. You mentioned a report that came out earlier this week, and I saw the headline, but I admit to not reading any further, about the demographics of people defaulting on their home loans changing.
Correct.
So you want to talk a little bit about that, and then we can move on to the how the younger generation is behaving when it comes to jobs.
Well, I think that the one thing that's started happening is that mortgages of over $1 million have started defaulting at a far faster rate than smaller mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wealthy people that are way underwater in their mortgages have decided to just walk away from them. They don't – I mean it, because it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, this is one of the things I've heard reported on before where – you know, there's the middle and lower classes, when they take on a loan like that, you know, start thinking about it as a, you know, as a fundamental moral obligation that they have to repay. Whereas in the world of business, and I guess this applies to some of the wealthier individuals here, you know, there's a pure, you know, cost benefit analysis going on here. And, you know, if you feel like the, you know, you'd be in a better position after walking away, even when you take into account the penalties, then you walk away.
And because these guys make so much money, to be honest with you, even if their credit goes sour, it really doesn't have as much of an impact as you would think. Because they'll probably still be able to rent or purchase things or whatever. And a lot of but companies are still going to give them credit for credit cards and cars because they'll show their income and they're like, well, okay, they just walked away on a mortgage. Eh, whatever. Okay, fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, exactly. They'll be able to absorb the cost and not care or not care very much.
Right. Now, the one thing is obviously that there is a flip side to this. If you have the bank, if you have a lot of cash, and it's not in retirement plans.
Yeah.
They can go after that. They can sue you for that. So it's not as easy as it totally sounds.
I did see at least one other report saying that the banks were going after that more often than they have in the past.
Right, because they didn't used to too much, but now they're being forced to. However, if, you know, look, you probably have the bank over a barrel, and they'll probably go, you know, instead of spending hundreds of thousands of legal fees and costs, they'll probably belly up and at least come up with something. I mean, I know one guy who right now is in 3 years and 2 months, and Countrywide still has not been able to foreclose on his home.
Hmm.
3 years and 2 months, and it's 3 years and 2 months of they're paying the property taxes, they're forced placing insurance, they're doing all of this other stuff on this house. They've probably in legal fees and everything probably run up about and unpaid interest well north between $100,000 to $200,000 on a $650,000 mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, really, I mean, there is no incentive to drag something out like that long. I mean, for the bank, it's just crazy.
Yeah, at some point, it's for the bank. The cost benefit analysis says they need to walk away too.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They just need to walk away just to get it done. I mean, because otherwise, it's just, you know. So, I mean, there's a guy over here. They're talking about a rapper who went and he walked away from a $2 million house he bought in Houston. And I just decided to let it go back to the bank. I didn't feel it was a good investment. That's it. Done.
Yeah.
End of story. Yeah. You know? So, anyway, so that's, I think, I don't know, I think that moral obligation that people have to pay their mortgage has been reduced significantly. You know, I do still pay my mortgage. So,
now, do you think that's a good change or a bad change? Do you think people are being smart by just looking at it as a cost benefit?
I think probably yes. Honestly, the banks, let's face it, the banks gave it, sent it up the ass to everybody, you know, so they might as well take a little too, you know.
There you go. Okay, so
I mean, honestly.
So switching off that to another sort of cultural change kind of thing, another thing you'd mentioned, Yvonne, were a few articles that came out in the last few days about younger generations. I guess you're talking people currently in their 20s. Would that be about right?
Yeah,
staying home a lot longer, refusing, like, saying no to jobs because they want to hold out for a higher salary, etc.
Something closer to their career. Well, I think it's just something that right now is a situation where, you know, the job market sucks for these people right now. I mean, the current job market for these guys, the unemployment rate is at Depression-era levels.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, but the other part of that is what you said before, holding out to something directly in your career, etc. Like in days of yore, as it were, if you didn't find something in the area that was your area, you found something in something else that maybe wasn't as lucrative. When I came out of school, I was not doing physics. I've never done physics since school.
That's not true. Didn't you have to do some at WAPCO?
It was more chemistry. But I did something, but it wasn't even that wasn't quite related. But, you know, but the point is I ended up doing something completely different than what I thought. I wasn't like, you know, I'm going to stay at home with my parents until I find a physics job.
That wasn't really an option. That's for damn sure. I think that we're talking about is that, you know, you've got a lot of people with baby boomer parents that are pretty well off.
Yeah.
That are just decided to, you know, they can I can afford to stay at home.
Now, wait a second. We're a generation off there. We're the ones with baby boomer parents.
They still have – no, these are 20 in their 20s. I think they're still baby boomer parents. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
The
baby boom generation stretches from
– It is a huge – the baby boomers are a misnomer because it's really like three different generations that they lump together. But okay.
Yes, pretty much. So there are three different generations, but, you know, part of it's the tail end of those. Those guys, I mean, it's a guy, for example, this guy, let's see, this guy is 24 years old. His father's 57. So that makes him a baby boomer.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
So the guy he's got his job, but, you know, the kid gets offered a job making $40,000 a year. Okay, but because it's not as good as the job that his brother got offered, he turned it down. I mean, in the middle of this damn economy, I mean, geez. You know, I mean, it's kind of nutty. Look, I got somebody that's working for me right now who spent, you know, 2 years looking for a job.
Yeah.
I mean they landed the job that they got right now. I mean, 2 years. I mean, I think in this economy right now, I mean, I think it is very obvious that the current generations, because of a lot of changes, definitely do not have the same American dream available that they that people used to have. And the unemployment rate right now is so bonkers at this generation that I mean, it's probably good. One of the things that they've determined is statistically what's going to happen is that their future earning potential is also going to be very affected by this, simply because, you know, it is. If you start at a certain salary, say you start making $20,000 instead of $50,000.
Yeah.
Well, then it's very difficult for you to get, you know, it's going to take you like a number of years in order to get to those $50,000, and you're losing those $30,000 a year for a number of years. I mean, it's a very tough slog if you start at such a lower pay.
Mm, yep.
So I think that that's something that this generation is definitely going to affect them, you know, a lot. So anyway, it says here for the college educated, let's see. The percentage of young Americans who are either unemployed or not seeking work is at its highest level since 1971. For the college educated, the number is at its highest since 1994 when records were first kept. Okay, so this is the highest since records were kept for that. Multi-generational households, or those with more than one generation of adults, have risen sharply. The rise is partly from adult children moving back home. Okay, and it's up from in 1980 at its lowest, like about 12%, up to like about 17% now. Okay, so yeah, so big changes.
So now, do you think this is really a sort of attitudinal shift in the younger generation here, or do you think this is more an issue of the circumstances just being different and them adapting to it in a, you know, in a fully logical way?
I think you got a combination of things. I think that there has been an attitude change about that. At the same time, that there's also been a, circumstances have also pushed it. I think that the fact that people don't get married anywhere nearly as young as they used to. I mean, it used to be people were like, you know, you graduated from college, you got married. I mean, you got married way before then, so that definitely you wouldn't want to be living with your parents when you were getting married so quickly. I think that that change in that is definitely, you know, made it that it's just far more acceptable for people to stay at home.
Yeah. So that, I don't know. This still seems weird to me. And I guess that is one of these generational things where, like, you know, I had like a 3-month period after I graduated college and after my first job before my second job that where I ended up going back and living with my dad for like 3 months. And I know, you know, no offense whatsoever to my dad, but those 3 months were all about how fast can I get the hell back out of here, and how did, you know, this is not a situation I want to be in. I don't want to be living here with my dad. And you know,
and that's it. It wasn't anything personal against him or anything. It's just you didn't want to be living there. That's all.
It's just like, you know, I'm an adult now. I don't want to be back in, you know, a house where, you know, I don't feel that full independence that I would as, you know, an adult who's graduated college. And so, you know, I was there for a couple months, and the first possible opportunity, like, you know, look, the smart thing to do, like, I got a job, and the smart thing to do would have been to continue to live with my dad for another 6 months to a year, build up my savings, blah, 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 and then move out. But hell no. I was out of there, like, and signed a lease on an apartment, like, you know, the day after I had the job offer.
Bolted.
You know?
You bolted out of that place. You bolted. It's like freaking rocketed out of there. I remember that.
Yeah, you know.
I think I was the one saying, oh, wait a little bit, save a little money, blah, 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 forget that shit. You were out the door, man. Jesus Christ. Don't let the door hit you on the butt, that kind of thing. I mean, jeez.
And again, no issue with my dad specifically. I love my dad. But, you know, I don't want to live there.
You just didn't want to be there. I understand that. You know, it's okay.
Visiting is just fine. Anyway, let's take a break and we'll come back. I think we got one more topic to talk about and then we'll close it up. Okay, we'll be right back.
Please. account information.
Okay, and I...
Yay!
Yeah.
Woohoo!
I think we managed to actually make a show of this. Like, so the one last thing we have to talk about is that you mentioned you went on vacation. Yes, hi. You went on vacation last week. And you went someplace where you had no connectivity to the world, pretty much. So
barely. I did have a little bit, but it was very intermittent. But for the most part, no. I mean, well, first thing is that we, you know, we're going on this. Got a friend in a friend of mine's boat. He's got a pretty big yacht. He's got it's 80 feet, and so we've had, you know, we loaded it up and we left. Palm Beach at around 6:30 p.m. on Thursday. Well, we were so loaded, and we were also towing a boat. We were only doing about 8 knots, which is about 10 miles.
That kind of loaded, not like loaded.
Yeah, not loaded like drunk, but loaded like the boat was very heavy with fuel, things, etc. So we were. It was like we were only moving at around 8 knots, barely like 10 miles an hour. Not even. And we had to cover 130 miles. Well, you do the math. The GPS said when we were leaving at that speed, well, shit, we're going to get there next day at 11 a.m., which was not far off, 11:30 a.m. We actually managed to get there the next day at 8:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. But that meant that we had to sail in shifts the entire night. So we had to go and, like, be at the helm, and we took turns. You know, watching, you know, for the main thing is, I mean, we had radar, we got an autopilot, we got GPS, but, you know, there's ships out there. You got to watch for them, okay, just in case you don't crash into one. So, well, I mean, once we left about 10 miles off the coast, I mean, we were out of range of pretty much any communication whatsoever. So, you know, spent that for about 14 hours until the next morning. And then we got there, and even when we got there, over there, there's no 3G. There's no 3G cell phones. It's only they still got an old TDMA network over there. Okay, and I don't and it was down when we got there. We were gonna call a friend of ours. Well, we started. You know, we were using VHF radios in order to talk to people while we were there for about for the 3 days. And you know, every once in a while, I was able to pick up a little bit of Wi-Fi from some signal somewhere, but it didn't really work all that well. But for the most part, spent the 3 days with very little. Well, even the satellite TV on the boat wasn't working for a while. It started working later. But we spent a number of days, no satellite TV, no cell phone, no computer, no nothing. I must admit, it was pretty good.
So
was not too bad.
So that was my main question, you know. Like, was this a relaxing relief, or were you constantly thinking, oh my
very.
God, I don't know what's
no,
going on?
No, it was, oh my gosh, it's so liberating. Oh, you know, we went to this island for a 4th of July barbecue that's 30 miles out, where not even the local cell phones work. I mean, we're completely out of range of everything, okay? Mm-hmm. And we got together with like 50 people on a beach, and we made a barbecue, and they did this whole thing over there, and we were completely out of range of any communication whatsoever, and it was we had quite a great time, okay? You know, we were playing on the beach, we had the dogs, we were swimming, we were doing, we had jet skis, we had other stuff, you know we had a great time, you know?
I think I'd have mixed feelings about that kind of thing, you know? I on the one hand, I could probably really use a break like that. on the other hand, I feel like I'd constantly be thinking about, you know, what am I missing? What am I not knowing that's going on?
Actually,
what should I be?
You know what? No, you get to the point that it's like, you know, what happens is that because you know you can't find out anyway, you don't give a shit anymore. So you're like, ah, fuck it. It doesn't matter. You can't find out about it anyway. So, whatever.
It reminds me of, like, you know, I really should do a vacation like that at some point where I'm completely out of touch. Well, I mean, you know, some of my random vacations, that was the case. I was, you know, when I went to the middle of Nevada, I had no connection to anything. And, you know.
You said you know Wagadu.
And, you know, that's when I, like, wrecked my car in a ditch and had to camp overnight and then go walking, you know, for help in the morning. But, you know.
I forgot about that. I forgot about that story. No, we should repost
But
I forgot about that one.
It's okay. On my website. Anybody wants to look, click the trips link on ablesmay.com, then go to the one for Nevada. You'll find it. Anyway, yeah, honestly, that was a shitload of fun. You know,
there you go. You
but,
see,
but you know, and one time when I was living in New Jersey, I also did an experiment where I tried to, you know, go for. I forget the details. It wasn't. I know what it was. It was no electric light for a week.
Oh,
at
that's
home.
Right. I remember that. Right.
Now,
right. You went dark. I was going dark.
Now,
yeah, yeah,
now
yeah.
It wasn't no electricity. I could use my computer.
But it was no lights.
I think I could. I think even the computer I did limited use because it has a light on the screen.
Right.
But like I could use the stove. I could use the other stuff. Honestly, this wasn't just me forgetting to pay the electric bill. Honestly.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. I can vouch for that because I would say it if it was.
but I was just saying, I was like, for a week, can I just go without artificial lighting? And the point of this was like, you know, it's sort of a sleep schedule thing and everything else. Like, you know, honestly, I'm normally up till midnight or later, you know, but if it gets dark and you can't do jack about it, except maybe light a fire, you know, then you're much more likely to just go to sleep, you know, or whatever. You'll be like, you know, it's dark out. I can't read. I can't do anything. I'm going to bed. You know?
Yep, pretty much.
And
well, that's what happens when we're in the Bahamas because we're so disconnected from stuff. I mean, what the hell? I'm going to bed at 9:30. That's it.
And probably getting up earlier, too.
Oh, yeah. Got up like at 6 something in the morning on the weekend, which I never do. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. So you would recommend whether or not you had like a boat, you went to an island, all kinds of stuff like that. But all of that aside, which is probably just wonderful in its own right, you recommend disconnecting. Like when you go on vacation, actually just disconnect, get away.
I go, let me tell you something that I usually, even when I'm going on a local vacation, if I'm going on vacation, I will usually put when I had a BlackBerry or my phone, I would actually leave it in the safe in the hotel room and just not look at it during the day. Because I was just like, you know, because otherwise then you're going to just stay stressed out with getting stuff and whatever, whatnot, and just, you know, I've been like, you know, I'll leave the damn cell phone in the thing. I'll bring my iPod. I have a iPod, okay?
Separately. An actual so iPod.
Right. I'll take that and listen to music on that, but I'll leave the damn cell phone or iPhone in the safe, in the room. That's it. Done.
Okay, well, Yvonne recommends that all of you go take a vacation and disconnect from the world. You probably should actually, like, take the vacation, like, tell folks at work you're, like, going and instead of just disappearing. Because if you just disappear, you know, that causes all kinds of trouble.
That's right. Yes. I usually do tell people that is happening. So, yes, very important. Okay.
Anyway,
all right, we're done.
I think
we did a show.
We did a show. Hey, Alex, come here and say goodbye. Oh, he's running the other way. Okay. Well, not running quite yet. Probably days away from that, but crawling as fast as he can. Anyway, thanks everybody for joining us at Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, email me at ablesmay@ablesmay.com if you have any questions, comments, thoughts. Suggestions of things we should talk about, anything along those lines. Otherwise, tell your friends and tune in again next week. So thank you and goodbye.
Bye-bye.